Hi, this is Please Touch the Art. This is Kieve Roadheaver. And who are you?
Hey everybody, my name is Oliver Licking. My pronouns are they, them, and theirs. I'm excited to be talking about art today. I don't have much of a background in it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's good, because I have a Master's of Fine Arts from Columbus College of Art and Design, and I am a painter, mostly watercolor and acrylic. I use they, them, theirs pronouns. We're going to go ahead and jump into a cold read of this piece. Do you know what a cold read is?
How about you go ahead and explain it?
Yeah, so a cold read is where you walk in, you find a picture or artwork that you've never seen before, and just by looking at it, you try to decide, like, what you think it's about, who you think made it, what you're seeing, what speaks to you, what you think it means, all of that. Something that I'm really sad that we're missing by looking at this piece on my computer is that this piece is actually going to be larger than life. It's going to be a bigger piece than Obama himself would be. Do you want to talk to me about some of the things that you're seeing on the painting, or do you want me to start for you?
Sure. So I see Obama leaning forward, sitting in an old, looks like a period chair. He's in his full suit with his arms crossed. It's got this beautiful backdrop of different greenery and plant life, and parts of it look like it's overtaking him or overtaking the seat that he's sitting in. He looks like he's making eye contact with the audience, perhaps.
Yeah.
So he looks like he's breaking the third wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that too. Also, some of the things that you referenced are really great. I love that you referenced the flowers and that you referenced the gaze of Obama throwing it back to us. And I really want to draw your attention kind of again to like the interplay of like the jungle coming forward and covering Obama and also receding into the background. Those are some of the things that we're going to be focusing on as we continue forward. So this is Kehinde Wiley's Portrait of Obama. This is the portrait that was made when Obama left office and is the official presidential portrait. Let me talk a little bit about Kehinde Wiley's artist statement. If you go onto his website, you will find a very beautiful, very, very beautiful artist statement. I will link to the website in the show notes. Anyway, Kehinde uses the visual rhetoric of the heroic, the majestic, the powerful Western standard-wise in art history and translates that into images of urban black and brown men, traditionally. Of course, Obama is in a suit instead of like the classic street clothes, but the rules still apply here. Generally, Kehinde uses the signifiers of Western culture. Like, for example, you'll see a lot of what's called a counterpostal pose. Do you know what counterpostal is?
I don't.
So counterpostal, if you've ever seen the portrait, if you've ever seen rather the sculpture of David by Michelangelo, that is a counterpostal pose. Traditionally, it is someone who is standing with their weight on one foot and their other leg kind of relaxed, one hip cocked up, and traditionally with arms in a relaxed kind of position, usually one up and one down. It's just a very like implied, I am leisurely standing here, Renaissancean pose. Mm-hmm. Kehinde rather will also reference paintings of kings, queens, any other kind of monarch, often feminized portraits alongside the majestic portraits, which I find really interesting.
Quick question. So yeah. Kehinde does like playing with femininity in his paintings is what I heard, or something else?
Sometimes, not always. Traditionally, the focus is on just the majesty of a piece or the familiarity of an older piece. in particular, the ones that I've seen that usually are referencing femininity are also biblical references. Like, there are a few portraits of, like, that are based on statues of the Mother Mary and things like that. Often the models in Kehinde Wiley's pieces wear street clothes as opposed to Obama's suit, but perhaps that's why he's not wearing a tie. And they're usually posed in reference to something. This piece in particular is different because this piece is not referencing any other art historical piece at all. This is the pose that Obama chose. This is not a painting. This is not a sculpture. This is just the way that they decided they wanted it. And another thing to realize about Kehinde Wiley is the main focus of his pieces is to give a visual history to those who don't have a visual inheritance, and to provide more space for conversation, more space for finding them inside of a museum. Kehinde feels like there is this vast, and I agree, a vast, like, debt in having people of color in museums, in having them in places of power. Often when you do find paintings of people of color, it's normally people of color in poverty or people of color in a quote-unquote tribal setting. Going back to the painting, Kehinde Wiley works in larger-than-life oil painting. This painting is from 2018. I want to focus a little bit on what I mentioned earlier about this piece not having a lot of historical context. Do you have an idea of why Kehinde and Obama might have wanted to choose to strike a new pose rather than referencing something older?
Well, I imagine that Obama wants to see himself as a different president from predecessors, right? And he already is probably very aware of the fact that he's the first, like, person of color to hold presidency. So he wanted to not be referencing some random Renaissance white art, I imagine.
Right. I feel the same way. I also feel like it's kind of because Obama himself is already a symbol of power. Obama himself is already kind of a Western royal figure, albeit we don't often refer to the presidents as royalty.
Closest the U.S. has.
Closest, yeah. I want to also talk about the flowers again. There are three kinds of flowers that are featured in the painting. There are chrysanthemums, jasmines, and then African blue lilies. And they're actually in reference to place. The mums are the official flower of Chicago. The jasmine is for Hawaii. And the African blue lilies are a reference to Obama's father being from Kenya.
And is the greenery just related to the flowers, or is the greenery something too?
I'm actually not sure what the greenery is. For me, it just kind of appears to be an ivy. It might be the jasmine leaves, but I wouldn't quote myself on that.
Is there any significance to the piece of furniture he's on?
Not in my... I'm sure there is, to be quite honest, but in my research, I did not focus on the chair itself.
Okay.
So I want to talk a little bit about Obama and perhaps, like, why the interplay between Obama choosing Kehinde and why I think, like, that might have occurred. First of all, Obama, of course, is the first person of color president of the United States, as we know. And with that comes a lot of burden and a lot of symbology, and you're going to want to leave behind kind of a very, like, strong legacy to make sure that these things keep on happening, that we keep on getting representation of other kind of folks in higher power. And one of the things that I think that Obama really wanted was kind of a powerful portrait, like a portrait of power. And one of the things, I found an article that I'm pulling this quote from: power demands worship, worship demands myth, and myth tends to style. I really think that Obama really wanted to be almost mythic with this. I think that Obama wanted children, when they opened up a textbook after not having known life during his presidency. I think that he would have wanted them to open it up and be fascinated by the fantasy aspects of the flowers and the floating, and just to be captivated by it and to like think more about it than like a stuffy office or something like that. Do you have any like thoughts about that?
I think that's interesting, and I think that falls in line with my perception and knowledge of Obama. Is he wants to see himself as a president of significant legacy, right? He wasn't just a placeholder. He wasn't just a token of his identity being in the presidency, but the work he did was significant. So it makes sense that he wants that expressed in the art depicting him. Pop culture was in
arts, now arts and pop culture in me. I think another reason why Obama wanted to pick Kehinde is that Kehinde really is kind of a pop star icon in the artist world. He deals with history and art history and uses that rhetoric of Western royalty that I mentioned before. I think Kehinde really is trying to use, if I might, like, brand-wise, kind of the Western royal brand, even, to market power in Black and brown folks. And it's here and around the world. I think it's really quite nice that Obama picked Kehinde to do the portrait, because Kehinde is in such a spotlight and does use just that really historical, nice niche background. Do you have anything you want to add about that? Or what do you think?
I like what I'm hearing about this. It's interesting to me, the artist that was picked for this portrait, because I think when I think of presidential portraits, I think of really typical, maybe even late 1800s to my knowledge, like my layperson sense of art, old style portraiture, right? Sitting in a chair by a fireplace or something. I guess I have some questions. You mentioned earlier that he picks the pose that he was posing, Kehinde didn't. Do presidents normally have this much control or want this much control of their portraits?
I'm actually going to backtrack on what I said. I don't actually know the complete interplay between who chose this pose in particular, but I do know that there is no other pose, so I imagine that the two of them would have collaborated on this pose. I do know in Kehinde's other pieces, often the subjects will be handed an art historical book or set of photos, and they will be able to pick out which one they want to be painted as, which I found really fascinating. So I imagine that Obama had say in how he wanted to be painted. And speaking like historically, a lot of kings and queens picked the backdrop that they wanted to be seated on, what they wanted to be wearing, what they even wanted to be holding, if they were holding something, and like what age they wanted to be depicted as even. So I imagine that there was a lot of like ability to kind of decide what he wanted to look like. Mm-hmm. So there's actually, what's really funny is there's actually kind of a, I thought it was really funny when I was Googling around that there seems to be a gatekeeping kind of controversy thing about Kehinde painting Obama. I don't particularly agree with this, but the main point is that they decided that Kehinde Wiley was too popular, to be honest. They decided that he was too commercial. They were worried that, like, his paintings wouldn't, like, last the test of time, that they were too fantastical, too different. And there was even one article that was like, oh yeah, the shoe on the right side is not in the correct perspective. What is it sitting on? And I was like, are we really getting this quite this petty about this portraiture?
I mean, I imagine that if there's a way to be petty about anything Obama or Michelle chooses, there's gonna be someone who will have something to say.
I'm sure.
I don't, like, look at presidential portraits. I don't make a point of doing that. I think I know what Kennedy's look like, because right. The pose looks a little different and is notable and gets referenced in movies and stuff. But this seems like a very different sort of pivot from the traditional art choices that presidents make. Do presidents take this much interest in art, or is Obama special in this way?
So So I'm just going to be very honest with you. I don't know a lot of the personalities of a lot of our past presidents. I really only began to focus on the personalities of presidents when I was able to vote. So Obama was like the first president that I was able to vote for the second time around. So, you know, I don't really actually know the answer to that question. I hesitate to like look into what our current president thinks of. As far as like art is concerned, I don't think that we would get along probably. Another thing that I want to talk about while we're talking about Candy Wiley is I want to talk a little bit about colonialism, because I kind of dropped that down. Colonialism is the process that takes place when another country comes in and introduces their food, introduces their culture and their religion and their practices, and erases either by killing, to be quite frank, or by imprisoning, or by rumor mongering that their culture is the only right culture and that the culture of the indigenous population is demonized, or in other words, made kind of unwell. And colonialism is still intact and alive today. That's why American culture, English culture, is the most widely known, the most widely spread, and the most popular. Candy Wiley also would be considered to be another identity artist. I mentioned identity art in the previous episode, but do you need a refresher on what identity art is?
Go ahead and give it to me.
All right. So identity art is art that deals with any minority identity. We're talking being a person of color, making art about people of color. We're talking being a queer human being and making art about being queer. Being a disabled person and making art about your disability. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another thing that I want to point out that isn't necessarily something that I think that Candy Wiley personally has a problem with, but I know a lot of my peers have referenced this being a problem, is being able to take the title artist rather than minority artist. So like artist versus Black artist, or woman artist, or queer artist, or disabled artist. A lot of times, white folk, able-bodied folk, cisgendered folk, male folk often get to just have a label. Like, they are an artist. They are a videographer. They are a camera person. But a lot of times, minorities don't often get recognized unless they are making artwork about their own experience. And that kind of pigeonholes them into making art that they don't necessarily like. It's not that they don't want to make it, it's that they feel like they might have to make it. And I don't think this is something that Candy Wiley deals with, but I think it's something that people should be aware of if we're also aware of like identity art and talking about the lack of Black and brown artists in museums, in galleries. It's getting better, it is, but it's very slow.
That's kind of a universal problem,
yeah,
right?
So it is a universal problem.
I can't find, I'm a little bad at names. I think it's Octavia Butler was a science fiction author.
Yeah.
But I don't find her in the science fiction section. You find her in the African American section of the library or of bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a prolific and excellent writer of dystopian and science fiction types of work, assuming I haven't confused the name. So that's notable that it has to be about her identity and not about her work standing on its own.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You mentioned a little bit about the types of portraits he makes like that are besides the Obama piece.
Mm-hmm.
Are they pop artists typically? Does he pick lay people ever and tries to like bring forward that type of visage or
Yeah, actually Wow, I almost called Kehinde Obama, two different people. Kehinde actually does, he goes and to different folks, and it started in New York and then spread all over what he refers to as the world stage, meaning across the globe. And he will pick just people that he knows, people that he's run into, usually lay people, sometimes people just on the street. And he goes, hey, whatever you're wearing right now, do you want to pose like a painting or a sculpture? Let me take a picture of you and I'll paint you later.
And he's still considered more of a commercial artist, even though he's painting lay people.
Yeah. So commercial art is very weird and fuzzy versus fine art, which is also very weird and fuzzy. A lot of people tend to think of Kehinde as, I tend to think of Kehinde as straddling the fine art and the commercial art trend, because a part of being a commercial artist in some ways means that you're also very accessible. You're very pretty to look at. People want to see more of your work. It's familiar. It's nice. It's tasty. It's bite-sized as far as like art theory is concerned usually. But also it has like a lot of these like beautiful historical moments that you have to like read beyond to like kind of get into the predecessors of Kehinde Wiley's portraiture and like stuff like that, and where he's gleaning all of this lovely information that is ends up being translated into a single portrait.
Where does this painting live, or where will it live? Because, like, pop culture-wise, movies, the paintings look like they're in the White House, according to things like House of Cards.
I don't actually think that they're in the White House. I think they're actually, like, in the Smithsonian or something like that, if I remember.
Yeah, like, is there a hall where they line up the presidents?
There is, actually.
So this is going to live in juxtaposition of all of those, like, stodgy, dark paintings?
Did you find it? It's in the Smithsonian?
It will eventually be.
It will eventually be in the Smithsonian?
We need all the deets.
I need all the deets. You're right. I need all the deets. I'm so sorry that I don't have all the deets. I usually try to have all the deets.
I was also, I don't know if you could answer this as well, but just looking at the one, well, I guess.
I also have the name of the piece that's in the CMOA for like our outro.
Oh, cool. Most of the presidents, and I don't know if this is something you can answer, most of them, it's not their full body.
Yeah.
Oh, it's mostly their face.
Or at least from their waist up. Mm-hmm. And only, like, maybe two of them show their feet. I didn't know if there was some significance to that.
I think it's, I honestly think it's just a portrait. It's a choice more than anything else. I know that some presidents, at least one of president, was in a wheelchair. Mm. So, like, that was probably why for that
though.
Person.
That's a little,
yeah.
He's looking a little more.
Well, and you, when the first time you saw this, you told me that you thought that this was referencing the painting of Abe
Lincoln.
I thought
it was. Mm-hmm. It's similar, but not quite.
Not quite, yeah.
Is it the same chair?
It is not the same chair. I glanced.
I keep wanting it to be about Lincoln.
But I think
I'm glad it's by itself and not related to a white guy.
So the Smithsonian Institute seems to say that it is going to have it, and that is all I can find. This piece was Kehinde Wiley's Portrait of Obama. Kehinde Wiley can be found on his website, kehindewiley.com, spelled KehindeWiley.com. He's also on Instagram as Kehinde Wiley, all one word, KehindeWiley. And on Facebook under the same name. I will be linking it in the show notes if you didn't catch that spelling. Thank you for having me, WCBE. You can find me with their other podcasts or where any other podcasts are found. I would love to recommend the artist Fred Wilson if you're really into putting more people of color in museums. He's not a painter, but he's real cool. You also can find another Kehinde Wiley piece at the Columbus Museum of Art. This portrait is called the Portrait of Andreas Stielte II. It's in the Walter Wing. And I am Kieve Roadheaver. You can find me on Instagram at kieve.art, spelled KIEVE.ART. Oliver, is there anything that you want to share as far as people finding you, or are you just going to be a mystery?
I think I'm just going to be a mystery. Thank you so much for teaching me about art today.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm.